Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Sarah Lane and Leo Laporte, episode 170, recorded September 28, 2010. Guy Kawasaki. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off the lifetime of your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code NIGHT. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I am Leo Laporte.
And from the land where ducks and robots live hand in hand, I'm Sarah Lane.
Sarah Lane filling in for Amber, who is stuck in customs right now.
Oh, yeah, she's going back to Canada from Denver, and took longer than she wanted it to. So happy to fill in, of course. I'm no Amber, but I love doing the show every once in a while with you, Leo.
I'm thrilled having you on. Are you kidding? We're having a great time here.
Yeah, exactly.
And joining us, I mean, speaking of thrills, we've got one of our best all-time best guests ever coming back, making a reprise.
Have you had Guy Kawasaki on the show before?
That's why I said it. We have indeed. Guy is actually, this is very appropriate because he's right now at TechCrunch Disrupt, which is the big conference going on in San Francisco. Mike Arrington, of course, a very big story last week with his blogger walks into a bar and the assertions that there was collusion going on among super angels. And again, top of the news, big news this week. Today, in fact, it breaks at TechCrunch 50. AOL buys
TechCrunch 50.
That's right. That's the old one.
Does not exist anymore. Calacanis is going nuts about that whole thing. Yeah. You know.
So here he is, Mike Arrington, making the big announcement.
Sponsored by MailChimp.
Tim Armstrong, the CEO of AOL, on stage. Tim just flew out last night.
Boy, this is confirming what everybody thought.
Come up and meet with us.
The CEO of AOL is coming on stage.
How you doing?
Baby. This could be some serious stuff here.
Hey, hey.
I wonder if they'll hug like when AOL and Time Warner merged.
So, Tim, there were these rumors flying yesterday.
I got to give it up to Arrington. He's very good live. He's very good on stage.
He just asked. He said, "Did you buy really me well, or not?"
And I think they're a great company, but I don't have any comment at this point. You flew all the way out here, not to comment on this at all.
Actually, I flew out here for a different reason, which is I've been a big fan of TechCrunch. I've been to many of the events over the years.
A big fan. Yeah.
Are you a fan of TechCrunch?
Love it.
You should be. Big fan of your team, of Heather's, and I flew out here because actually.
I think we've learned something here, that this guy is a fan of Heather's, which was one of my favorite movies. That's weird that he says he's, just threw that in.
If we're talking about our youth.
Partner.
So the first thing they were talking about it was AOL buying somebody else. I know I was confused because I didn't. Let me rewind.
Yeah, AOL also just acquired Five Men, which is it's almost like an aggregate of user created videos.
Five Men, not Five Men.
Tutorials.
Yeah, Five Men, like 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yes, Five Men, not Five Men.
Five Men and a Heather.
AOL acquired Five Men today.
Okay, well, let's listen here.
Did you buy Brizzly or not?
Brizzly, that was the rumor. I didn't know they were going to buy. Well, he said no.
I know the Brizzly guys really well. I used to work with a bunch of them, and I think they're a great company, but I don't have any comment at this point.
Oh, maybe they're in the market to buy Brizzly. Why would you buy Brizzly? Twitter just redid their website. Brizzly, which is a web-based Twitter client, is kind of obsoleted by the new Twitter site, if you ask me. Oh, you're Cylon-ing. Unplug and plug in again.
Oh shoot.
The show is...
still about me now?
I love you now, baby.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So here is the continuation of our video. Mike Arrington rubbing his eyes in pain.
About an acquisition at New York, at Disrupt there. You had gone off stage. We had just spoken. And we went into a back room, sort of the speaker room, and you said, "Hey, so just how are things going in general? Are, you know, you enjoying yourself?" And I said, "Man, I'm so tired. I've moved to Seattle."
All right, I'm tired of this. AOL bought TechCrunch, right?
AOL bought TechCrunch.
It's confirmed in this video in about an hour in.
I know. Yeah, it's going to go on and on. I was hoping that the video started a little bit later to make for we know that videos are supposed to be short and concise, right? You and I never go on and on about
never
anything.
Never go on and on.
Nobody
so
does
you,
that.
You have a connection at TechCrunch. Is this public knowledge? Can I mention this?
I do not work at TechCrunch.
No, but you know somebody who does. I believe you're dating somebody who works there.
Well, somebody works at TechCrunch is my roommate.
Okay.
Yes.
And your roommate, does he say anything about this?
Does he say anything about it? Yes, he's thrilled. So this is all very exciting for them.
It is good news for them.
Yes. You know what's interesting?
I wouldn't say it's good news. If you get bought by AOL, don't you think they're just going to disappear? Well, I guess Engadget is owned by AOL.
Yeah, and Gadget's actually a really good example of a blog that I think very few people would say was ruined by AOL. I mean, and
no, you can barely tell it's AOL, can you?
Yeah, I mean, the editorial control hasn't been touched, at least, you know, not much. I don't think anyone really expects at this point. I mean, you can look at this a couple different ways. You can go, it's AOL, and, you know, it's the end of an era, and TechCrunch was such a, you know, they were a bunch of renegades, and nothing will be the same. And I mean, you have to assume that there might be a bit of a conflict with bashing of AOL, you know, because that has happened in the past, but...
That's a good point. AOL now. I mean, does that mean TechCrunch will now no longer ever say anything bad about Engadget, but will always say something bad about Gizmodo? I don't know. That's an interesting
question.
Do we know how much AOL paid for TechCrunch?
Well, the rumor is anywhere between 25 and 40 million. And a lot of folks are going, boy, that seems low. But I mean, you and I, it's important to know the terms of these kinds of deals, because it's like, right, 25 million to just walk away in cash with no incentive and having to hit certain numbers is
a
very different deal
it.
Than right. 75 million, where in 5 years you've got to grow to this point.
Right.
And if you don't hit that number, then you're not getting the money.
Well, there's also the issue of, is it cash? Is it stock? There's a lot more. Right. To be said about that. So we don't really know what the selling price was. Mike Arrington, is he sole owner of TechCrunch, or are there other people who own it?
As far as I know,
Mike just started blogging. He's a lawyer by training. He started blogging about startups.
Really interesting story.
He was a VC.
It was like a hobby that he put together to get back into the scene after going away for a while. And it turned into this huge animal, really. I mean,
and it's a testament to Mike's really strong ability to drive traffic, to get stories, to get scoops. You know, now he lived here. TechCrunch was in his house for a long time. Recently moved out of his house to offices, and he recently moved, I understand, up to Seattle or somewhere, Pacific Northwest somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's where his parents live. So,
oh, maybe he's taking care of them. So I wonder if this is him dialing down, or if it's him cashing out.
It's a good question. I mean, again, a lot of people are going, oh, well, without Arrington, TechCrunch is just dead. But it's like AOL is, the people behind AOL know that. I mean, there's no way that TechCrunch sold to AOL for, let's say, even on the low end of 25 million, just for Mike to be like, all right, I'm out of here. Like, they don't buy an entity just to have it fall apart. I mean, I'm sure that there's some agreement that everybody had to sign to stay there for a certain
amount. This is a huge story. So before we get Guy Kawasaki on the line here, Sarah Lane, I got to talk about Squarespace.com. Your website, Sarah Lane, .com is on Squarespace, is it not?
Yeah, and I couldn't be happier. I've been on Squarespace for a couple of years now, and
you were
it's
an
a
early
really
adopter.
Seamless experience.
I didn't hear about it till after you started using it.
Yeah, you know, I became familiar with Squarespace through Revision 3. I was a pretty happy typepad user. I don't know. know that, that I was happy with it, but it's what I had been using since. Oh,
yeah,
I
we
don't
all
know.
Kind of. That's exactly it. We all put up with our blogging platforms because we didn't know any better. And then along comes these guys, Anthony and Dane are just so cool. They created Squarespace. This should have been the Facebook movie. Is the Anthony and Dane story? They wrote this in college because they weren't happy with blogging platforms, and they found, I mean, this is the best place to have your website. They host it, and they have the best software, the best templates. They're easy to drag and drop to modify your site, so you don't have to know anything. Of course, if you know CSS and JavaScript, there's no limit to what you can do. A great iPhone app for posting, complete social integration into everything, including Twitter and, you know, of course, Facebook and Flickr. But, I mean, dozens and dozens of social sites. It imports your existing content from your existing blog platform, but it also exports, so you're never stuck. I could go on and on, but look, I want you to try it free for 2 weeks. Go to squarespace.com/night. You don't even need a credit card. You just set up a site. You just to get the flavor of it. You know, play with the templates, play with the design. Yeah. Just get the flavor.
Just see if you like it.
Get some Squarespace on your tongue.
The see first if it, taste is
roll
free.
Roll it around.
Slosh You'll love it. This isn't going to hurt
you. You could spit it out at the end, but I bet you won't. I bet you will sign up for Squarespace, and boy, is it affordable. Starts at $12 a month. And let me tell you, if you use the coupon code NIGHT when you sign up, you're going to be saving 10% a month for the life of your site forever. Squarespace.com/night. It's the secret behind exceptional websites. Guy Kawasaki is the secret behind... He's actually the guy who runs the internet. Let's get him on the line right now. Actually, it looks like Guy's in his office. Guy, good to see you. Welcome to Net at Night.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm great. So you left TC Disrupt and you're at home now?
I don't go to those industry things.
You don't?
No, because, you know, I can only handle so many egos in a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I figure, hell, I can get a free pre anytime. I don't need to do
that. Guy, what do you think of this news that AOL bought TechCrunch?
You know, God bless Mike Arrington. He definitely pulled it off. Now he can go to the store and buy his own cell phones. He doesn't have to accuse people of getting paid off to do it.
Do you think we're going to see a kinder, gentler Mike Arrington working for AOL?
No, I don't think that's in his DNA. Maybe when he's the ex AOL employee, he'll be a kinder, gentler one. But, you know, Mike is Mike. He is what he is.
Typically, these deals are structured that the founder stays on for a period of time. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you know, like 2-3 days. Yeah.
But is TechCrunch anything without Mike? They've got great writers. They've got MG Siegler, who's fantastic, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah. But, you know, at some point, I think many people look at TechCrunch in order to get a daily synopsis of, you know, the 20 deals or things that matter. And every once in a while, he pops one like this angel thing. And, I mean, this angel thing, you know, listen, Mike Arrington scooping a bad thing, I mean, that's like, you know, Idi Amin is reporting on Ahmadinejad. You know, I mean, right. It's like, yeah, wow. I mean, you know.
Let's set this up. People have probably heard of it. They call it now Angel Gate. Mike Arrington posted last week, a blogger walks into a bar, talks about not getting invited to a dinner at Bin 38, a restaurant wine bar in San Francisco. All the big super angels were there. These are angels who are so big that they're almost VCs in and of themselves. In some cases, they actually do have funds. He goes there saying, oh, I got to get the story. He goes there and is frosted by them. He says, they're all my friends, but he leaves. Yeah. Then asserts maybe there was collusion going on. He says, I heard from several afterwards that they had decided to keep valuations low. They decided to put Paul Graham and Y Combinator out of business. And then their emails are flying back and forth. Dave McClure of 500 Hats denying everything. Ron Conway getting into the act. And it's just kind of gotten messy. But here's my problem.
Yeah.
Now, a week later, TechCrunch has not backed it up in any way. Mike hasn't backed it up in any way. This story... He got a lot of attention for it, but he hasn't done anything to support it. It's like, well, if you're going to make those assertions, we need to know more.
Well, you know, a lot of it is consider the source, right? So this is a guy who will receive what he thinks is stolen confidential Twitter documents. He doesn't verify that it's really Twitter documents. And then he publishes it as if it is for sure Twitter documents. And so, you know, so I don't know who to believe in this. You know, I believed all those guys. You know, maybe they all wanted an excuse to go have a drink, right?
Aren't they your buddies? Were you there at Bin 38?
No, I don't, you know, I don't collude.
We don't know if they colluded. There's no,
You know, maybe they all wanted an excuse to have a drink. So they call themselves angels. So they go to this bar. And I suppose, you know, it's kind of natural that one of the conversations would be, let's rag on Y Combinator for a while. And then let's rag on the increasing valuations of small companies, and let's rag on venture capitalists. So, you know, but that's a typical conversation that happens 2,000 times a day in Silicon Valley.
Right.
So it just happens that Mike wants to make a story about it. So God bless him. I mean, you know, I don't. This is not exactly Deep Throat and Richard Nixon here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny because when I had that, you mentioned the pre, and you know, I think most people know it certainly was heavily viewed on YouTube that.
I watched it last night again.
It's funny. It's not my proudest moment by any means, but it will live forever. You got to be careful what you do on the internet, kids. People, it doesn't forget. Yeah. Mike was on a show. Steve Gilmore for a while did his show on this network. Mike was on and started needling me about the review Palm Pre I had. And I was very clear. Yeah, I don't normally take review units. I have this for 5 days because of the timing. I had to take a review unit, but blah, blah, blah. And he really kind of insinuated, oh, you're going to give it a positive review. Only people who give Palm positive reviews got one. And his proof was we didn't get a review unit. And finally, he just kept, and this is Mike's way. And actually, it's why he sometimes gets people to say things they oughtn't, because he's good at needling. And finally, I said, screw you, Mike, and hung up on him. And
you said more than that.
Yeah, I was bad. I called him a troll, whatever. You know what's interesting after that, guy? I got so much email from some very big people in the industry, most of whom did not want to get named because people are terrified of TechCrunch and Mike, saying, right on, it's about time somebody said something like that.
So the reason why I watched it, and I watched it maybe 15 or 20 times last night. I'm not stalking you, Leo, but I'm writing a book called Enchantment, and this book explains how to enchant people. And I make the case that one of the ways to enchant people, believe it or not, is to swear every once in a while. And so I cite this as an example of, you know, generally you shouldn't swear, but once in a blue moon, you can swear if the situation is right, where the audience is behind you. You know, it's your show, Leo, right? So it's your show. The audience is behind you. And if it's in the face of something that's just head-smacking, jaw-dropping, arrogance, hypocrisy, stupidity, you know, then it's okay to swear. And in fact, not only is it okay to swear, it's good to swear because the audience, you know, aligns with you. They think you're an earthy, kind of down-to-earth, no BS kind of guy. And your emails prove it. Yeah. So I don't think you planned it.
No. And I regretted it, and I apologized shortly thereafter.
Yeah, but, you know, I heard you guys kissed and made up, which kind of takes a little bit of the...
Well, you know, the last... Mike and I have still always been a little bit at odds, and you know, I saw him at food camp, and he was like... He was afraid I was going to slug him. I don't know why. And he was like this, and I said, no, I don't have any animosity. And then, you know, I talked, just as you did recently, about the fact that Mike will run with a story even though there isn't much support for it because it's good for links. It's link bait.
Right, right.
And he sent me a note. One line said, do you take pleasure in knocking me down? So obviously he's still not completely comfortable with me. But I agree with you. If you don't swear, if you never swear, which I don't, I'm very careful about not swearing. When you do, it carries huge weight.
Yeah, I mean, like the Carol Bartz thing, that was kind of huge, right?
Yeah, although she's known for having a foul mouth, isn't she?
Yeah, well, there's that.
That's it. So tell me more about Enchantment. This is interesting.
You know, it's a book. It's coming out in March, and it explains how to enchant people. And
enchant what, like to bewitch? Enchant in what context?
To woo, to persuade, to influence. You know, I love this guy, Robert Cialdini, is a professor in Arizona. He wrote the book Influence. Mm-hmm. So I love his work. And there is a certain science to influencing and wooing and persuading people. And that's what this book is about. You know, the book that I'm trying to compete with in my own humble way is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie,
the classic.
Yeah, that book, Leo, that book was made in 1935. To this day, it sells. It's number like 200 on Amazon.
But it is out of date. I mean, it's time to be updated for the internet era. So I'm glad you're writing that. Yeah, no, I'm glad you're writing that. And I just downloaded as an accidental entrepreneur myself. I downloaded The Art of the Start on my Kindle just the other day. It's a great book about what you need to know, the rules for startups. So I'm glad you think about this. You were an Apple evangelist. You were, and that was your job, wasn't it, to enchant?
That was my job. It was, and I'll give you the key to enchantment. The key to enchantment is to create or align with something great, because it's easy to enchant people with something great. It's very hard to enchant people with crap.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, 80 or 90% of the battle.
Interesting.
So can I plug another website?
Why not? Go ahead, guy. Enchant me, baby.
I'll send you a free pre. You know what's sad about the pre? The pre should be what the Android is.
Yeah. I loved the pre. I was very impressed with it. I didn't end up using it full time because for a number of reasons. It was mostly the hardware. I was prepared to buy one if it was the hardware was underpowered for the OS, which a lot of early smartphones were like that.
Yeah. So I write a blog for American Express, and American Express just announced a website called Get Currency. And this is a website for young adults to figure out how to have a healthier personal finance.
Oh, that's about time.
What? Personal finance?
No,
it's a great time.
That we don't, but kids don't learn this, do they?
Well, this is not kids. This is, you know.
Well, young adults. I mean, my daughter's 18, first year of college.
Right.
She's probably got a credit card.
She has an 8. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And these are it's like the crucial 10 years where you can really let things get out of control, because you start and you think, oh, this is great. I can buy that couch and I don't need to have the cash in my pocket.
So this website explains, you know, how to buy a car, you know, how to handle your credit cards. They run you through some courses and some planning. So it's a good site for young adults.
What's the URL?
Getcurrency.com.
And would you say it's for like first year college kids like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, first year college kids and recent grads. I mean, the 20
people
to 30.
Entering the real world.
Yeah, you know, people who haven't sold to AOL recently.
Would it also...
Wait a minute, I got a call here. I got a call from Mike Arrington. Let me just see if... what's that phone doing here?
You guys are so weird.
I'm so sorry, Sarah. You didn't mean to drag you into this.
No, so, I just kind of have to sit back and have some popcorn and enjoy this.
It's a little bromance between me and Guy. That's all it is.
I'm entertained. Guy, would you say that Get Currency would also be good for folks who are not recent college grads who just feel like they need to brush up on how to keep track of their finances better?
Yeah, well, maybe is the first time you really need to figure this out, huh?
Yeah.
Can't just close your eyes and throw a dart.
This
anymore.
Is interesting. So there are actually courses here.
Yeah. Well, listen, would I come on your show and plug a piece of crap?
Well, what is your? Did you do some of that? What did you write some of this stuff? What is the deal with this?
Oh no, I happened to blog for American Express in their open forum, and they just told me about this website. So,
so you just out of the goodness of your heart. You're not a paid spokesman for this or something.
I do blog for American Express.
You're a paid, right. And Wharton is doing this, so that's very prestigious, the Wharton School of Business. what are you laughing at?
Well, let's get back to some people we can pound on. Who else can we pound on?
Who else do we hate? Who else do you hate, Guy? Who else? Not hate. Hate's a strong word.
Yeah.
Who else are you unhappy? Who else do you think is getting more attention? What about... Yahoo. Let's talk about Yahoo. Do you think Yahoo is on the right track?
Wow. You know, I think poor Yahoo, they really have to dig themselves out of a hole.
They sure do.
And you know, I think the challenge for Yahoo is no one can figure out what Yahoo is.
Right. Even Yahoo. Even Carol Bartz. Now, I have a lot of respect for Carol. She seems to have done a good job trying to get Yahoo on track, but it seems like a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, you know what? Now, you could, it's kind of... it kind of is a half empty, half full thing. Like half empty, you'd say, well, you know, what is Yahoo? Half full, you'd say, wow, Yahoo has a bunch of businesses, many of which are very strong. So, you know, they are a safer bet. Whereas with Google, I mean, you know, if advertising goes down the tubes, wow, you know, Google's really in trouble. But a lot of things have to go wrong for Yahoo. And, you know, I can relate to Yahoo because when I was inside of Apple from 87, you know, 88, 89, that time frame, also the early 2000s, it was a real bummer. You know, everybody thought Apple was going to die. Things were horrible.
That was the Gil Amelio era. Oh.
So clearly, you know, clearly Apple companies can't, maybe Jerry Yang will come back. Companies can make a comeback.
If the founder, if the guy with the genius comes back.
Well, or doesn't have to be that guy with the genius, but it has to be somebody with some vision that says, you know, from this day forth, this is what Yahoo is. And so it can be done. And what I've learned in Silicon Valley is that when you're inside a company, things are never as good or as bad as they seem. And you know, right now, probably Yahoo, people think it's really bad, but it's probably not as bad as they think. And meanwhile, there are companies where you think we're on top of the world, we own the world. And if you really knew what was happening, it's not as good as you think.
Right.
So,
let's talk positively. Who do you think is knocking it out of the park these days?
Well, you know, for sure, Apple, right? I mean, what?
Yeah, but don't. But but this iPhone 4 thing, you think they handled that well?
Which iPhone 4?
The antenna gate. Not have handled it the same way, Guy Kawasaki.
Well, that's probably true, but I think from just an engineering and scientific standpoint, the iPhone 4 is better in reception and clarity and all that. And this concept that if you hold the phone the wrong way, you'll drop or call, I mean... You know, I think the iPhone 4 is much better than the previous one. So what's the problem? And I don't know. You know, people think I'm an Apple fanboy, so I always back up Apple. They would be amazed at how many times I take shots at Apple. But you got to admire them. I mean, Dave Weiner wrote a blog about how this is the beginning of the end of Apple. It shows their arrogance, you know, blah, blah, blah. People are going to return their iPhones by the hundreds and all this. And none of this happened. I mean, the fundamental – Apple just fundamentally proves if you do great stuff, people will put up with a lot.
Yeah.
And the problem is that most companies get the part about making our customers put up with a lot – they forget about the part of making great stuff.
You got to do the great stuff first.
Yeah.
Or people aren't going to put up with anything.
I know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I mean, if you think about if I said to you, Leo, I want you to buy a phone, and this phone, rumor has it, if you hold it the wrong way, we'll drop the call. If you use it the way it's intended, you won't be able to go a full day without charging it. And it's using an exclusive carrier that just sucks. You know, if you're really in a desolate area like Palo Alto, you'll drop calls all the time. you know, so I said to you,
well,
Leo,
I wouldn't buy that phone. That sounds like
would
a terrible
buy that phone?
No.
Meanwhile, you know, people are lining up to buy that phone. I've bought four or five for my house. So, yeah.
No, my kids have them. My wife has one.
Yeah. I learned a very interesting thing. I was on a panel the other day with a guy who runs social media for the NBA. And he told me that they have NBA Droid apps, Android apps, and they have NBA iPhone apps. And they have installed more Android apps than Apple apps. Okay? So Android apps are more popular than the iPhone apps. But as far as monetization, monetization of the iPhone version is 10 times better than the Android.
There's something about people who buy Apple products, isn't it? Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I mean, we just love to stand in line and pay full retail. I mean, it's just,
we got more money than sense, some would
say. Talk about enchantment. Jeez.
Well, what's your take on social media? Well, you've used Twitter quite effectively for Alltop, for instance.
Yeah. I think social media or specifically Twitter. I think Twitter is just the greatest thing that ever happened to a marketing person. Oh my God. I mean, it's fast, it's free, it's ubiquitous. If people don't like it, you get to tell them off and say, don't follow me. It's voluntary. I mean, you know, hockey cannot get any better than this.
It's true, isn't it? It's a perfect marketing tool.
But I have to admit that if 5 years ago and whenever Twitter started, if someone said to me, you know, we're going to enable you to tell your followers with 140 character limit anything you want, like your cat rolled over or the line at Starbucks is long or
don't drink, you know, blue bottle or you'll be right.
Hooked. Right. Or I'm in the line at customs at the Toronto airport.
Exactly.
And it's long. And like, I would have said, who gives? I mean, why do I care if Lonely Boy 15's dog rolled over? Why do I care? Why do I care if Michael Arrington, you know, went into a bar? And yet, God, I mean, Twitter is just huge. I just love Twitter.
You're right. I would have never predicted this either. Although, yeah. Those of us who are on early on, and I know you're one of them, and I certainly am, knew there was something. I mean, there was a feeling that you just couldn't – it was addictive immediately.
Yeah. It took me about 2 weeks. For the first 2 weeks, I thought, this
That's
is
right.
the dumbest thing I've
That's
ever
right.
seen.
Yeah.
And what turned the light on for me was the ability to search. Mm-hmm. Not the ability to broadcast. But so I don't mean to brag, because this is not something you brag about, but I think I get more utility out of Twitter than anybody in the world.
How many followers
Well, I really have two accounts, and so one has about 40,000, the other one has about 290,000, so maybe 330,000. But, you know, Leo, I mean, I think you're one of the same people. You and I were never on the suggested.
Never promoted. Episodes. Never yeah. promoted. So we yeah. are, you know, we earned.
That's right.
Our followers. It's no mistake.
The
old-fashioned way.
How many followers do you have?
230,000, something like that. Close, not yeah. as many as you, but almost.
Yeah. And so the beauty of that is that, you know, those people really consciously signed up for us, right?
Yes. They chose us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the 2.5 million people who signed up for Ashton Kutcher and, you know, Barack Obama and all those people, they just were clicking the accept button. They didn't even know, right? So, but me and you and Scoble, we have the right to be morally offended that we were never on that list.
There's something that happens with sites like this where they hit mainstream acceptance, and then the geeks go, oh, well, I don't want to do anything with that anymore.
Well, that's not my attitude.
No, you know this is the power, right? Is that
this
real
is
people
it,
read
baby.
It. Yeah.
This is it. Yeah, this is hallelujah, man.
How's Alltop going? Well?
Alltop is doing okay. You know, we can always use more traffic.
How do you make money on Alltop?
We sell ads. I mean, theoretically, Leo, let's say we have a topic called ADHD.alltop, right? For attention deficit disorder, right? And so if you're at ADHD.alltop, guess what? You are really there for a purpose. It's because your family or your kid has ADHD, right? So now if you're selling Concerta, we have a site that's perfect for you, because you know with total certainty that the people who are at ADHD.alltop are there because they have ADHD.
Brilliant.
And similarly, if you go to adoption.alltop, you know that people are interested in adoption there. Right. And, you know, right down the line, 850 times. So that's the theory. The issue is, and I'll be the first one to admit, I don't know how to make it tip, is we're at about 2 million page views a month right now.
Yep.
It gets interesting at 10 million. I don't know how to get it from 2 to 10 million. And then, you know, if I get it to 10 million, I'll sell it to AOL too. And then, you know, me and Mike Arrington will be sitting down and smoking cigars, and we'll be saying, oh, poor Leo, he still has to do a show every day.
Those numbers are well known, Guy, among entrepreneurs in the community, that there's you have to have a certain number of hits or a certain number of uniques, or you have to have a certain amount of revenue. Those are well known numbers that, you know, I have to hit this goal to do it.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of picking it out of the air, but 2 million is obviously achievable for, you know, me and a small group of people. But
10 makes you special.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, how many page views do you guys get, or, you know, uniques do you get? I mean, there's a critical mass you have
to
hit, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And
we're not there
yet. It's certainly north of 2 million.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be 25 million, but it, you know.
Oh, but then you see somebody like Digg. Boy, you got to feel for Kevin at Digg because 27 million uniques at its peak.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing it trend down.
Yeah. I really feel bad for him.
I do too. I mean, now we should say, but both, I don't know about you, but Sarah and I love Kevin, good friends. We've worked with him for years, known him for years. And watched with great interest and have been rooting for Digg since day one.
Yeah.
Is it over?
He, like Yahoo and Apple, you know, are all going through or have Apple went through it and came out. But
you're saying there's a second act. There could be a second act.
Yes. And do you like the new Digg where, you know, you watch what you're...
I prefer it.
I do, too. In fact, I have a shirt that says the new Digg. It was my idea.
So do I.
Because
I wear it out sometimes.
I told Kevin like 3 years ago, I don't give a damn what those weenies who are voting up Digg stories care about. I want to follow people just in the Twitter model. I want to follow Guy Kawasaki and Sarah Lane and find out what they care about. And that's what the new Digg does.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know why it's not.
Well, the weird thing is that, you know, everyone complains that it's like, well, it used to be wisdom of the crowd as a whole. But you can still, there's still a main Digg page.
You can still do it.
It functions the way that people are used to. It's just that I think the traffic is diluted so that the power users are upset about that. I mean, I don't know. Things change. Digg wasn't going to continue to succeed. They had to do this.
They had to do it. There's no question.
Yeah.
Is there a time? I guess it makes sense, Guy, that there'd be time. There's timing. There's a perfect time for everything. Has an arc, doesn't it?
Right. That's why it's better to be lucky than smart.
Yeah, timing's everything, and you can't really predict it.
No, I mean, it really, God, you know, I remember vividly when Michael Moritz called me 15 years or so ago, and he asked me if I wanted to interview for the CEO position of a company he just funded. And guess what? You know, I looked at the website, and there wasn't much to it. My wife and I were living in San Francisco, and we had... you know, one son already. She was in beta with our second son. And so I look at this and I say, so, you know, this site really doesn't do much and I'd have to drive an hour each way. I'm not even interested in interviewing for the CEO position of this new company called Yahoo.
Ah!
So, you know, if I had said yes, I might have been Tim Kugel.
That wouldn't be good, actually.
Right, and I would have like $2 or $3 billion.
Yeah, but you'd be sitting on the beach and enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I'd be sitting on the beach and I would be, you know, busting your chops.
Have you seen the Facebook movie yet?
No, I...
saw it last night.
Yeah, and?
I feel like... I think those of us are the three of us are way too close to the story to appreciate it as a normal person. So I don't know if my opinion of it is what I want to take my wife to it, who knows nothing, and see what she thinks. Because Aaron Sorkin, they raved about it in The New Yorker. David Denby said this is a brilliant movie. He literally said the best script Aaron Sorkin's ever written, which is about as high praise as you can for anything. And it bugged me a little bit. It was choppy.
It's exactly what I worry that I'll feel about it is like, it's like not enough time has passed or so. I mean, Facebook is still growing. It's like the story isn't done. There's only half of a story to tell.
I also feel like it's very unfair to Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, for instance, you know, I don't want to spoil anything.
Go ahead.
The end of the last scene in the movie.
You spoiled the pre for me.
No, the end of the movie is very point. First of all, it is not as negative about Mark as I thought, as everybody's thinking it is.
Yeah.
It is a very nuanced. Eisenberg does a very nuanced performance. It is not at all clear that he's a jerk or just nerdy and antisocial and not uncomfortable with people. It doesn't seem like he's a bad person in this movie at all.
Okay.
It does seem like he's not. He doesn't understand people. Like almost. Not autistic, but almost autistic, where he just doesn't get it. He doesn't have any. He's like, well, why would it bug you if I compare women to farm animals? I'm sorry, I don't understand. And so he comes off as a as in, and is insensitive and a little jerky, but not because he is a jerk, but because he's kind of like doesn't get it. So I don't think it's a negative portrayal, although everybody in the theater seemed to have a different opinion on this. I asked people, and the people I saw it with last night, it was a Mashable screening, and I asked Lisa Bentley. She said, oh, yeah, he comes off as a complete jerk. So maybe women will think that. But it's very poignant at the end. There's a very poignant scene, which is absolutely a lie, because Mark has had the same girlfriend since sophomore year. And the whole movie, he has no girlfriend. And the whole implication is he did the whole thing just because he was lonely. And it's not true.
Yeah.
So the foundation of the movie is false.
I think that's what is the problem that you're having with the movie, is that you already
know too much
about the real people who are being portrayed. So that, you know, it's like Mark Zuckerberg comes off as a real jerk by this actor who doesn't know Mark Zuckerberg. Like, who cares?
Right.
Well, you know, I'm not sure care how.
You know the movie about Apple?
Triumph of the Nerds? Which one? So Fire in the Valley? What?
Yeah, Fire in the Valley. I've never seen that movie.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, you don't want to see it.
Yeah, I just...
Nobody... By the way, Adam D'Angelo was there.
Yeah.
I didn't ask him what he thought. He probably thought he was mad that he wasn't in the movie. But nobody from Facebook wants to see this movie. And those who have are, you know, livid. Because it's not true. It's fictionalized.
Well, compared to what? I mean, isn't every movie like that?
Of course it is. That's how you make a movie, right?
Right.
You tell a story. It's a story. And Aaron Sorkin doesn't say, I have to be accurate. I'm not a historian. He's telling a story. David Fincher is telling a story. He's not a historian. So, I think you're right, Sarah. I know the story. So it's like, it makes me antsy.
It's hard to watch it for entertainment value or to think it's something.
The thing you should think about is, so, you know, we kind of know the story, so we know where the movie is right or wrong, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, we go and we see other movies about stories we don't understand, and we think, oh, that's how it really is. And people in that business are saying, this is not how it really
is. Well,
that's true. It's totally fictionalized.
That's true. In fact, this is kind of a truism, but whenever the newspaper or television covers a field that you know a lot about, they get it wrong.
Yeah.
Which makes me think they're always getting it wrong. It's just that we notice it on the ones that we know about.
Right, right.
Well, think about how many Hollywood actors probably laugh at all the biopics,
that's true.
You know, like, oh, Walk the Line, oh, Johnny, oh, you know,
a good point.
His daughter is probably watching it going, that didn't happen.
That's BS.
I was there.
That's not my dad.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I'd be very curious to see what. I don't want to pan the movie because I think I'm not the right guy to ask. It was very disjointed. They kept coming back and forth between the depositions and the actual events, and then back to the depositions are boring. Nobody wants to watch a deposition on film.
All I can say, Leo, is I love Hawaii Five-0. You know?
That's because you're from Hawaii.
That's right. But I have to tell you, funny moment. So I watched Hawaii Five-0 last night, and there was a scene where, you know, the Korean guy says to the Oriental babe, you know, something like, it's 110 degrees here. And I lived in Hawaii for 25 years. It never gets to 110 degrees. So I'm like, what are they talking about? So, geez, I can't do anything. But I love Hawaii. Hawaii Five-0 has the best B-roll in the entire industry right now. I really...
Would have been, you know, 3 million views on YouTube for this, the Hawaii Five-0 open. 3 million views on YouTube for the Hawaii Five. That's how.
Well, it's one of the best opening themes ever.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Everyone knows it.
Makes you want to go to Hawaii. Oh, Jack Lord.
Jack Lord.
Yeah. And. Oh, the beautiful babe on the beach, and... Boy, Jack really got top billing there, didn't he? That's it. Nobody else is in this movie.
Where's Dano?
I want Dano! Guy Kawasaki, always, you know, you are so much fun to talk to because you just say it like it is. You're not diplomatic in the least, and I love that.
I could take that as an insult, you know that.
That's
right?
Not an insult. That's high praise. Nobody wants to interview somebody namby-pamby who doesn't want to offend anybody. You're the best. So we thank you. Always. It's always a pleasure. Alltop.com. If you go to my.alltop.com/Guy Kawasaki, you can see Guy's links. And, of course, he is Guy Kawasaki on Twitter. Let's get that Twitter following account up a little. Only 280,000. Come on.
Yeah, that's low.
What can I say?
Guy, you're the greatest. Thanks
Take
so much
care.
For being here. Take care.
Thanks, Guy.
Whenever
Bye.
There's
Thanks.
A big story with TechCrunch, we're calling Guy. Guy will tell the truth. See you later, Guy. This portion of Net at Night brought to you by our good friends, where else? Audible.com. We love Audible. Audible is a great place for audiobooks. You can get your free book right now by going to audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. It is, you know, I wonder if I should have asked him if any of Guy's books are, he's written, what, like 10 great books. I'm going to start. I don't know. I'm going to go. This is what you do. You go to audible.com. And you can search for, I just love it, you can search for, yes, The Art of the Start. Why did I buy the Kindle version? I could be listening to The Art of the Start. Or Reality Check, Outsmarting, Outmanaging, Outmarketing Your Competition. Or How to Drive Your Competition Crazy. This is Guy Kawasaki at his best. You can listen to it right now. In fact, pick one of these and make it your free choice. And learn from it. I would say, depending on if you want to be a startup, Art of the Start is brilliant. And Reality Check is great.
You know, his new book he was just describing about being an influencer and knowing how to enchant others. I mean, you listen to him and it's like, if anybody can do it, he can.
I can't wait to get that book.
I was enchanted. Did you see me not saying anything? I was just kind of listening to Guy. Wow, you guy's interesting.
Well, that's because I didn't let you
he's
in.
Really interesting.
That's because I didn't give you a chance.
No, don't worry about it.
I apologize.
It was interesting.
Sarah, No, she's going to get me for this. You're going to spike my blue bottle. I know you. Audible.com. It will come out on iPad. No, it's no. Okay, Leo. You just go right ahead and talk the whole show.
You know me. I'm not a wallflower. I thought
you
that Guy
jumped
was
in.
Doing... But you know there's a jumping in that's appropriate, and then there's a I want to be heard interrupting that's not. So I don't know. I liked Guy's energy.
Sarah Lane, you are a class act. That's
Thanks,
all
Leo.
I can say. Audible.com/night. Get one of Guy's books there. If you go there right now, you can sign up for the gold account. You get one book a month, and the first month is free, and the first book is free, and you can cancel anytime. So it's yours to keep forever, and really a great way to find out if audiobooks are for you. They've got everything, not just business books. They've got bestsellers from the New York Times. They've got classics. I'm listening to The Count of Monte Cristo right now. Oh, my God, it's so great. Mysteries, thrillers, science and technology, the best sci-fi. It's all there. Audible.com/night. Give it a listen. I think you'll love it. Audible.com/night. We thank Audible so much for the support of the Net at Night program. Sarah Lane, thank you for filling in for Amber MacArthur.
Leo, anytime. As you know, I prefer to be up there, but thanks for letting me Skype in today.
Plumber's on
his
way.
It's like I feel like I'm who's on his way?
Plumber. Isn't it the plumber you're waiting for?
Well, it's not the plumber. It's like this maintenance person who runs our building. I'm not allowed. It's so
the super.
MG's.
He's waiting for the super.
It's like the super.
MG's Schneider will be there any minute
so
now.
Be there. Do you know what the weirdest thing about my building is?
What?
Well, this is really off topic and not about the web at all.
There
but
is no topic.
I'm not allowed to let anybody in my apartment when I'm not there because I have cats, and they think my cats may attack them, and it'll be a liability for my limb. I'm not kidding.
What do they think? Do they think you're keeping cheetahs in there?
I think this rule was made probably because somebody's dog bit somebody at one point.
Right.
But now it applies to all animals. Maybe not a fish, but I've got two cats. They are not ferocious. Oh, are they not? But they do have claws, so here I am.
And the piranhas are scary.
Well, the piranhas are gentle giants. They stay in the bathtub.
Gentle giants.
They're just for show, really, you know, in case somebody robs me. By the way, while Guy was talking, it was confirmed that AOL did indeed buy Thing Labs, the owners of Brizzly.
Really? Now, that's interesting, too. That's very interesting.
Confirmed
by
TechCrunch, another company AOL bought. AOL can't stop buying things.
That's a huge mistake to buy Brizzly. Huge mistake.
Yeah.
They just talk about timing.
As a
longtime devout Brizzly user, I haven't used the site since Twitter updated its site. There's no point.
I feel bad because everything about Brizzly I like. You know, I like the design, I like the way it works.
I do too. I love
Brizzly. In theory, I like it a lot. and I couldn't keep myself using it. I just go back to the Twitter web experience.
Especially with a lot of other services as well. But with the new Twitter, does a lot of the things that Brizzly, you know, inline images and video, a lot of the things I liked about Brizzly, I don't need Brizzly anymore.
No.
Now, Brizzly does Facebook exactly, and some other stuff, so maybe that's, if you wanted a multi-platform.
Brizzly also, I think they just started incorporating Foursquare check-ins as well.
Right.
So, I mean, there's stuff that Twitter can, and they will, I'm sure, get on the bandwagon. But it's like, it's a classic example of the bigger company watching all the littler companies do stuff and going, oh, yeah, well, we'll just incorporate that. And we'll just incorporate that. And then the other services don't do as well.
Brizzly was probably, I'm guessing, was a deal. You know, that Thing Labs probably was anxious to get out of it.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah Lane.
Leah Laporte.
It's time for Tom Merritt and TNT. We thank you for being here. Amber MacArthur, I think, will be back next week unless the whole customs thing was just an excuse.
Yeah, no, she's so over us.
She doesn't want
It's just you and me and Guy Kawasaki from here on out on Tuesdays. No, I'm just kidding.
That would Amber be great. Be Are you kidding? Week. Forget and, Amber. Let's do that.
Tell Amber that. Don't you know Amber how that. her she's got web rage.
She does.
She's
web
a real rager.
Many people think that she's soft spoken. Talk about somebody who can swear like a sailor when needed.
You ever met Amber?
Woo, boy, talk baby. About, huh? We've Gosh. Added some things to Brizzly. Look at this Foursquare. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, Amber confirmed Dana Brunetti. Will be your guest on Ed at Night next week.
Oh, we're going to talk about that movie. I better keep my opinions zipped up because
don't
Dana
ruin
produced...
anything else. Now Dana... I know in the last scene he gets a new girlfriend.
I didn't say that. Really no. I didn't say what happened. I just said it was a poignant moment.
All right. Okay.
Sarah Lane, thank you so much. We'll see you next time on Ed at Night.